In a significant legal turn, a Wisconsin appeals court panel ruled 2-1 today to restore Act 10, the contentious 2011 law that largely eliminated collective bargaining rights for most public employees. Scott Bauer of the Associated Press reports the decision overturns a December 2024 lower court ruling that had declared the law unconstitutional. While the lower court had found that the law created irrational exemptions for certain public safety workers, the appeals court majority concluded that the Wisconsin legislature had a rational basis for these distinctions and that courts must defer to legislative fiscal policy decisions. This reversal maintains the status quo, as the 2024 ruling had been stayed pending appeal, keeping the law in effect as it has been for the past 15 years. The legal battle is far from over, as unions are expected to appeal Wednesday's decision to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. This next step is particularly notable because the state's high court flipped to a liberal majority in 2023, marking the first time Act 10 has been challenged under this new judicial composition. While Republican figures like Scott Walker praised the appeals court for respecting precedent and protecting taxpayers, union spokespeople like Christina Bray expressed continued confidence in the merits of their case. As the litigation moves toward the Supreme Court, the political stakes remain high, with all five Democratic gubernatorial candidates vowing to repeal the law if elected in the upcoming August primary. Opening soon in Richland Center, Wild Honey Juicery and Cafe stands as a beacon of wellness and vitality, offering a locally owned space dedicated to providing nutrient-dense juices, superfoods, and wholesome meals. At the heart of its mission is a commitment to nourish customers' body, mind, and soul using high-quality, sustainably sourced ingredients. By prioritizing ethical and cruelty-free practices, the cafe ensures that every offering supports both human health and environmental well-being, setting a new standard for responsible business in the community. The foundation of this vibrant cafe is rooted in the life and passion of its founder, Tony McCarville. Raised as a farmer's daughter in North Dakota, Tony developed a profound respect for the land and the way food fosters connection and community. Her journey to creating Wild Honey was informed by decades of service as a nurse anesthetist, where she dedicated herself to the care of others. This background in nursing deeply influences the cafe's focus on holistic wellness, transforming her lifelong dream into a reality where health and adventure flow naturally. Beyond just a juicery, Wild Honey is a gathering place designed to inspire bold and creative living. Through its thoughtfully curated menu and welcoming atmosphere, the cafe cultivates a vibrant space for locals and visitors alike to support local farmers and sustainable practices. Whether you are exploring new flavors or seeking personal growth, Wild Honey celebrates the deep connection between nature and nourishment, inviting everyone to experience a lifestyle where well-being is celebrated and community thrives. Hang in there, folks. The Target opening date, mid to late August. The sport of all-terrain vehicle, ATVs, and utility terrain vehicle, UTV, riding is experiencing significant growth across Wisconsin. Since 2023, annual registrations for these vehicles have consistently topped 500,000 units, reflecting their increasing popularity. The surge is not limited to residents. Over the past 5 years, the state has averaged nearly 30,000 non-resident trail passes sold annually, highlighting Wisconsin as a premier destination for off-road enthusiasts. This growing interest translates into a substantial economic boost for the state. According to an economic impact study published by the Wisconsin ATV-UTV Association, riders contributed an estimated $973 million to the economy in 2023 through spending on food and beverages alone. This significant financial influx underscores the importance of the sport to local businesses and tourism-dependent communities throughout Wisconsin. Richland County serves as a prime example of accessibility and infrastructure catering to this sport. Currently, all Richland County trunk roads are open for ATV and UTV travel. Furthermore, all but three townships have opened their local roads to these vehicles, providing riders with diverse route options and stunning views of the unique Driftless area landscape. This open road policy allows for seamless travel between rural scenic areas and local amenities. With increased participation comes a focus on safety and regulatory compliance. In Wisconsin, operators born on or after January 1st, 1988 must complete a safety certification course to operate on public trails. The minimum age for this requirement is 12 for ATV operators and 16 for UTV operators. Additionally, local ordinances help manage the flow of traffic. A recent Richland County ordinance, also adopted by the City of Richland Center, restricts hours of operation to between 4 a.m. and 11 p.m. DNR conservation wardens strongly recommend that all operators, regardless of age, complete a safety course to ensure a responsible riding experience. The Juneau County Sheriff's Office has launched an independent investigation following the arrest of 68-year-old Mark D. Campbell of rural Lafarge. The arrest stems from an incident late Monday night involving Lafarge Police Chief Stephen Palmer. According to reports, Campbell unexpectedly arrived at Chief Palmer's private residence to confront him regarding a village ordinance compliance letter recently issued by the police department. During the encounter, the defendant allegedly lunged at the chief in an aggressive manner, forcing Palmer to utilize a police-trained decentralizing technique to gain control of the situation. Following the confrontation, Chief Palmer sought medical treatment at Vernon Health in Viroqua for injuries that developed later that evening. Due to the potential for a conflict of interest, Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson requested that the Juneau County Sheriff's Office lead the investigation. Campbell was taken into custody Tuesday afternoon and transported to the Juneau County Sheriff's Office in Mauston to await a bail hearing. While formal charges are expected to be sought through the Vernon County District Attorney's Office, an outside prosecutor will likely be requested to ensure full transparency throughout the legal process. The Richland Center General Government Committee met yesterday to address several key administrative and property-related matters. Amanda Keller has been hired as the new city clerk, marking a return to a position she previously held. In other personnel news, Aaron Unbehan has been appointed as the new zoning administrator. The committee also received an update on the city assessor's office, which was impacted by recent storms in the state. However, the assessor is confirmed to be ready for the upcoming Board of Review meeting this week. Development and property issues also took center stage. The Wild Honey Juicery and Cafe, situated at the former Gables restaurant site, is now aiming for a mid to late August opening. Regarding specific property discussions, the committee reviewed the situation at 254 East Hazeltine Street, but took no action. A lengthy discussion occurred concerning 291 North Jefferson Street, resulting in the committee directing city staff to collaborate with the property owner. No action was taken on this property either, though the committee plans to revisit the issue in 3 months if the situation remains unchanged. Additionally, the committee decided against permitting storage units on industrial park land at this time. Finally, the committee addressed a request from Lydia's House Ministries regarding 929 West Seminary Street, where the ministry sought city assistance with a title search, a warranty deed, and the forgiveness of outstanding debt before a potential property conveyance. The committee recommended that the city council approve the requested title search. Tuesday at approximately 8:20 a.m., a Columbia County Highway Department employee was struck by a passing vehicle while performing road maintenance on Berry Road in Scott Township. Fortunately, the vehicle only made slight contact with the highway worker, who was uninjured as a result. The operator of the suspect vehicle briefly pulled over after striking the worker before fleeing the scene. The employee was unable to obtain the license plate number before the vehicle fled. The suspect vehicle was described as a tan or gold SUV with a missing passenger side mirror. The mirror was missing from the vehicle before striking the highway worker. Anyone with information about the identity of the suspect vehicle or the operator is asked to call Columbia County Dispatch. Sheriff Roger Brandner also would like to remind everyone to use extra caution while driving through work zones and around pulled over emergency and roadway maintenance vehicles. The people on our roadways have families waiting for them. drive safe. Local conservationist John Clare stopped by our studios to share some important updates regarding local hunters' education.
Well, one of the things we're doing is looking at making some changes. In the past, we've been doing what's called a traditional hunter ed class, which means we met for a week, Monday through Friday, about 3 hours each evening. And at the very end, we did the written test and then finally what was called a field test. We're looking, because of the people that we deal with, the kids that we generally deal with, being really, really busy, we're looking at changing the way that we teach the class now. And what that would entail is us going to what's called a online class, where the kids would take the class online, and then we do a what's called a field day. In order to get certified to hunt in Wisconsin, the student would have to pass the written test after the online class was completed, and then take a field day where they get the gun handling and get tested on the gun handling, which is the going to be what we try to do, is the field day kind of thing. And we have one planned. We have a field day planned August 25th at the high school, and it'll go from 4 o'clock in the afternoon till 9. If you have a student that has passed the online portion of the Hunter Ed class, they need to sign up for that online as well, and then we will run them through that. This is a training for the Hunter Ed instructors as well. We have one of the folks from the DNR coming to kind of run us through. This is our first field day for most of us. I've done one already, and it's a little bit different than what we're used to, so it'll be a learning experience for both the kids and for the instructors.
There have also been changes this year regarding antlerless deer.
The CDAC, which I'm part of too, is the County Deer Advisory Council, met in April, and there's a change there. Last year, each license that you bought, some people hunt both with a bow and a gun, meaning you have two different licenses you have to purchase. Last year, you got three tags for antlerless deer with each license. This year, the advisory council decided to go to one tag. So when you get your tags, and they're available now, I got mine this morning online, you will get only one per license. Now, that doesn't mean that you can only hunt one or can only harvest one antlerless deer. There are extra tags for sale. Those go on sale August 19th for our area, and there are 2,500 available yet. So that should meet. We've never sold those all out, and I don't see us selling those all out again this year.
Join Richland Center Parks and Recreation for an exciting day trip to the Diamond Joe Casino in Dubuque, Iowa, tomorrow. Travelers will depart from the Richland Center Community Center at 9 a.m. with check-in beginning at 8:30 a.m. The trip is scheduled to conclude with an approximate return at 5 p.m. The cost for the excursion is $40 per person, which is non-refundable. This fee includes $10 in free play and a $15 meal credit for participants to enjoy. Please note that this trip is strictly for individuals 21 years of age or older. Those interested in reserving a spot should contact Cheryl at the Woodman Senior Center at 647-8108 extension 3, 647-8108 extension 3. I did speak with Cheryl this morning. There are a handful of open seats left on the bus for the trip tomorrow to the Diamond Joe Casino in Dubuque. Recently, a local couple made a down payment on a residence to rent and found out later that the home shown in a photograph was not for rent. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection reports that, unfortunately, this has become a common scam. Michelle Reinen is with DATCAP.
It is something we have heard about here at DATCAP, and unfortunately for this consumer, the scammers are using legitimate web postings and creating new contact information. They're using real addresses of places that are rented, and so it can be hard to navigate. But they're also using artificial intelligence to create and compile postings. So they create a new location, but use a different address and a different property owner. So it can be very difficult for those who are out there looking to rent a property. And we hope that they can take time to check things out by getting the address of the property and verifying and confirming the actual owner and property manager using public records that are on file with the municipality or the county. Searching the address to confirm that it isn't just a driveway or a dumpster type situation, that there really is a property for rent at that location. And then checking for complaints against the property owner that they are indicating they are. But doing all this before any money is put down, because we've also seen scams where application fees are being quite high and being asked for of each and every tenant that will be at that property before someone can even tour the property. And so money is lost, not just personal application information.
When looking for a place to rent, it's always best to go to the office of the realtor or property manager and speak with them directly.
You want to see if you can tour the property, make that appointment, confirm everything for your own eyes by walking through that property. But that's part of this scam, because housing is in demand in so many areas that they encourage you to put the money down to hold your space and indicate that there aren't appointments for the tour right now. We've even seen where some have been on legitimate third-party rental housing platforms and then refuse to allow the, quote, landlord to talk to the tenant live in person. And so consumers have tried to ask questions about utility bills and the lease provisions and earnest money and security deposits. And these scammers haven't been able to give legitimate answers to those questions. So some have been able to see the red flags and back away from the situation.
If you are a victim of or suspect a rental scam, you can contact DATCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline at 800-422-7128 or by email at datcaphotline@wi.gov. The Aging ADRC Advisory Committee has announced that its regular monthly meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, August 5th, beginning at 1 p.m. This meeting offers a hybrid attendance model, allowing participants to join virtually via Teams or attend in person. The physical meeting location is Conference Room AB within the Community Services Building at 221 West Seminary Street in Richland Center. Several critical program updates and educational topics are slated for discussion. Members will receive information regarding transportation updates involving MTM and INCLUSA, as well as board education focusing on ADRC funding mechanisms. A significant action item on the agenda involves the revision of aging plan goals, specifically for the nutrition program. Additionally, the committee will cover advocacy updates, a general ADRC update, and a detailed review of the ADRC budget. The meeting will conclude with reports from various aging and disability organizations, a discussion of items for future consideration, and the formal scheduling of the next meeting. Charges are filed in a woman's death in central Wisconsin. 60-year-old Lyndon Hood of Stevens Point is being held on $1 million bond, charged in Portage County Court with first-degree intentional homicide in connection with the death of 57-year-old Jeanette Pienka. The victim was found dead July 21st in her rural home. Investigators said she'd been stabbed. Her sister, Sarah Pienka, is charged with two misdemeanors, including resisting or obstructing an officer as a party to a crime. Hood has yet to enter a plea with further court action on hold while a public defender is assigned to his case. Sarah Pienka is free on a split cash and signature bond as long as she posts $1,000 by late August. We get a fresh look at what Democratic voters are thinking ahead of the Wisconsin governor's primary. A new Marquette Law School poll is set to release today. Poll director Charles Franklin told WISN-TV's Upfront the shakeup earlier this month when current Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez dropped out of the race and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley re-entered necessitated another look. Madison Representative Francesca Hong led in that poll with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes in second. but most respondents were still undecided. In-person early voting is now underway for the August 11th primary. Judith Ruiz Branch of Wisconsin News Connection reports Wisconsinites lost an estimated $1.4 billion to online scams and cybercrimes last year, marking a nearly 15% increase from the previous year, according to a new report from the Consumer Federation of America. On average, Wisconsin households lost more than $500. Ben Winters, director of AI and privacy for the Federation, noted that social media platforms remain primary sources of scam activity. He pointed to a lack of enforcement and the proliferation of accessible tools for scammers as significant issues. The absence of artificial intelligence regulations has further assisted scammers, and Winters highlighted that funding and staff cuts at consumer and financial protection agencies under the Trump administration have contributed to the sharp rise in losses, as noted in a Consumer Reports press release. Nationally, older adults are the most targeted demographic, with average losses exceeding $38,000 per incident, while losses for individuals under 20 have nearly tripled. Winters cautioned that AI-generated content makes scams harder to detect and outdated traditional advice. He recommends exercising extreme caution with financial transaction ads or links. Winters advises pausing to verify any request for quick action or money transfers, noting that individuals should feel free to hang up or wait for responding before responding to suspicious messages. The Federation is pushing lawmakers to bolster consumer protections with ongoing lawsuits and proposed legislation aiming to hold tech companies accountable for fraudulent content. Winters urges victims to report incidents immediately to the Federal Trade Commission and local law enforcement. He emphasizes the importance of raising awareness and reducing the shame associated with being scammed, noting that these incidents are becoming increasingly unavoidable for everyone.